Welcome to Microsoft Build 2017. I'm Donovan Brown, Principal DevOps Manager at Microsoft. In this video, I'm going to show you how to create an entire CI/CD pipeline using PowerShell and Team Foundation Server. What we're going to be looking at and spending most of our time in is right here inside of a PowerShell console. What I'm going to be using is a team module available in the PowerShell gallery that allows you to interrogate your Team Foundation Server and your Visual Studio Team Services account. So for example, if I were to just simply type git project, what you're going to see is that nothing's going to come back. The reason why is because my current Team Foundation Server, and I can show you where I'm pointing at, so if I had to type git team info, you can see that I'm currently pointing at a local instance of a Team Foundation Server, and there's no projects in it. And what I'm going to be able to do is create an entire CI/CD pipeline and the project for a Node.js application and deploy it into Azure without ever leaving the command line. If you want to see what else is inside of here, so for example, if I were to go ahead and show you all the commands, these are the commands that are currently supported inside of the team module so that you can create new builds, releases, monitor your builds and releases, approve your releases as they're moving through the pipeline. And this allows you a lot of flexibility and ability to script a lot of things that you would normally have to do manually. You can now do with a script or a PowerShell script directly from within PowerShell. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to use another tool called Yeoman. Yeoman is an open source product that allows you to generate projects. Well, when I got introduced to it, I just asked the question, why are you only generating a project? Why don't you not only give me the source code, but also give me the entire DevOps pipeline that will take the source code that you generate for me and actually deploy it into the environment of my choice? So I wrote my own. It's called YoTeam. It's just a generator that you can download that will allow you to do exactly what I'm about to do here. So if we return back to my desktop here, I'm simply going to type YoTeam. Yo, again, is the command for the Yeoman generator. Team is identifying the generator that I want it to run. Once it loads, it's going to start asking me a few questions. All I have to do is answer the questions appropriately, and everything else will just magically happen. For example, it's asking, would you want to connect to a Team Foundation server or a Visual Studio Team Services account? I obviously want to connect to my local instance. It's now asking me for a personal access token. This is basically saying, how do I authenticate that you're allowed to touch that Team Foundation server or Visual Studio Team Services account? So what I'm going to do now is simply give it access to my personal access token by typing that in. And now it's going to go query my Team Foundation server and find out which agent queues do I have available to me. An agent queue is just a collection of machines that are agents that allow you to build different types of projects and release those projects as well. I only have one, so I'm going to go ahead and select default. This product currently, because it's completely open source, and hopefully we'll get some support that will add additional languages to it, supports .NET Core, .NET Full, Node.js, and Java. In other videos that I've been creating for Build 2017, I've shown the other languages, so let's go ahead and do Node.js this time. So if I choose this, it's going to ask me, what would you like to call this product? We might as well call it Node Demo. And now it's asking me, where would you like to deploy it? Would you like to deploy it to Azure App Service as a web app or inside of a Docker container? Let's just go ahead and do Azure App Service. And now it's asking me for my Azure subscription. So I can simply put in my Azure subscription name. It needs to know my subscription ID. It needs to know my tenant ID, my service principal ID. And this is information that you can go and gather from inside of Azure. And then finally, my service principal key, which is important and private, so we don't show that to you here in the tool. And now what it's doing is saying, do you want me to install dependencies for your application if you intend to do development, which means I'll run NPM for you, I'll run NuGet for you, or whatever type of dependencies, Bower, whatever is necessary to download all the dependencies so that you can immediately start developing against this particular application. I don't need all of that for this particular example because the project that gets created for me is a fully functioning application that doesn't require any development. I can simply commit it to the Git repository that's going to be created for me as part of this command, and then start deploying it automatically into Azure. So on the screen, what you're seeing now is it's creating a new team project for me inside of my Team Foundation server. In a moment, you're going to see it actually cloning the repository. It's now creating a service endpoint from my Azure account to my Team Foundation server, which is going to allow us to automatically deploy into Azure. It's also created a new CI build for me. It created a continuous delivery release definition. It's actually given me a sample project here, and then even goes ahead and commits the first set of code for me. So all I have to do is basically CD into the application folder and then push it to the repository. Now that I've committed this code to the repository, a lot of things are actually happening for us. Team Foundation Server is springing into action. It sees the commit. sends that commit over to our CI system, which is now trying to build our code for us. Once that build is done, it will then go ahead and deploy it into Azure using release management. So remember earlier, I typed get project and nothing got returned. But now returning to the team module, if I type get project, you'll see that we now have a project inside of Team Foundation Server called NodeDemo, which is the name that I gave the Yeoman tool, and that's the project that it created for me. Now that I have that, the majority of the commands that you can run, so example, if I show you those commands again, the majority of these commands to run successfully need to know the name of the project, and you can obviously pass that as a parameter to every one of these commandlets, but that can be tiresome at times. So what I allowed you to do is if you go and say set default project, you can then navigate to the project that you want to set as the default. Now you no longer have to pass the project name with any of these commandlets. I can do something like get build definition, and it will show me a list of all the build definitions inside of that particular project that was created for me by Yeoman. So another thing I can do is say, let me get my release definitions as well. So I can do release definition. And this is the release definition that was created for me as a part of that as well. This release definition actually has several environments, which I can actually see right here from the command line. So I can do a get release definition. I can ask it to expand the environments, and then I can select just the environment portion, and I'll expand that property as well. And those who know PowerShell are seeing that these are just standard PowerShell semantics. I create a call a commandlet, I pipe it to another standard select object commandlet of PowerShell. I can then ask it to expand a different environment for me. So we'll do environments here. And then if I press on enter, you'll be able to see that it's now iterated over and shows me that I have a dev, a QA, and a prod environment. And if I wanted to format this a little easier, I could pipe that to format wide, which will just show me the names of the environments that I now have defined inside that particular release definition. Another thing that I can do here is now that I know that I've checked in my code, I can actually ask it to get a build. When I do get build, you can see that there is a build that is actually already run and its status was completed and it was successful. Because I have continuous integration enabled, this should have started a release. So if I were to go and type get release, what I can see now is that there actually is a release that's already running. If I wanted to, just like I did before, I can say get the release. I can expand a property called environments. I can then select environments, and let me expand that property as well. And when I do that, I can now see that I have a dev environment that's currently in progress and a QA and a production environment that haven't actually started yet. I have approval set up for my QA and my prod environment. So if I were to use the commandlet to get approval, what will happen now is that there's none because we haven't gotten to the QA environment. Once we're done deploying inside of the dev environment, the QA environment will then have an approval pending for me. And what I'll be able to do is use the commandlets, as I'm showing you here, to get any pending approvals, pipe that to set approval, and set the status to approved, and all my releases will immediately kick off again. This also is really great for developers who do a lot of demos like I do. I will create tons of different team projects, all of which I only need temporarily. I can literally type get project, pipe it to remove project with the force flag, press enter, and all those temporary team projects are automatically deployed or deleted for me. So it's very powerful, but you need to be very careful because deleting all the projects in a team services account is probably not what you want to do unless you're doing a lot of demos for a living like I do. But what I want to show you is the flexibility and the power that you have by re-embracing the command line. I'm a Visual Studio guy since the beginning of my career. So I've been taught to use an IDE, to use the mouse to do a lot of things. And I've learned that I really needed to re-embrace the command line and understand the power of being able to script what would normally be a several clicks or several different commands that I'd have to do using a user interface. I can now effectively and efficiently do that with PowerShell. So I know I was a little nervous going back to the command line, but the more that I start to use it, the more powerful I find it. And hopefully you'll start to see some of that power here as well. So now let's go see how we're progressing with our environment. And as we can see, our environment was successful. So now if I were to go back in and do a get approval, you can see that I now have a pending approval trying to go into QA. Although QA looks like it's in progress, all it's doing is waiting for an approval. There's no code being deployed inside that environment yet. But what I can do using PowerShell is simply pipe this to set approval. And then from approval, there is a status, and I can either approve it, I can set it to pending, reassign it to someone else, or reject it. In our case, we want to go ahead and approve it. It's now going to approve that, And it's now moving inside of our QA environment. So as you can see, right from PowerShell, I was able to do a lot of stuff. But what I want to do is show you what was created for you. So now that we're done, and you saw me create a project, create the source code, commit that source code, get a CI build, and get a CD deployment automatically working, and I never left the command line. Now what I want to do is I'm just going to shortly, for a short period of time, leave the command line just to show you what was actually created for you from the command line. So let's go ahead really quick, and let's jump over into our Team Services, our Visual Studio Team Foundation server here, into our Node project. So a browser is going to fire up, and now I'm going to be inside of the project that was created for me from PowerShell. This is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. Team Services and Team Foundation Server work for any language targeting any platform. This is just the dashboard, but if you look here on our code, you'll notice that we have a Git repository that has all the source code that was generated for me by the Yo Team product. So here's all the source code automatically committed into my Git repository. If I go to my builds, I can actually see my build definitions. And again, this was a Node.js application, okay? This was not .NET. This was not something that you would normally associate with Microsoft. This was a Node.js application. And I want to show you on our build report what we're actually able to show you. Again, please don't forget, Node.js, and we actually ran all of your Node test. We even calculated your code coverage for your Node test as part of the build from Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server. We can do it from both, on-prem or in the cloud. And as you can see down here at the bottom, we have basically deployed into our dev environment already, and we're still deploying into our QA environment, and we have a third production environment that we haven't deployed to yet. So how did we get all of this to work? If we were to go back here and actually look at the build definition that was created for us, let's just go ahead and click on edit. What we're going to see here are all the tasks that were used to actually build our project. So we were able to run Bower, we were able to run NPM, we ran an NPM test command, we're able to publish our test results, calculate our code coverage, and then install the actual remainder of the packages and dependencies that we needed. We're able to zip up the files and then publish them as an artifact that could be used by release management to deploy this into our Azure app service. We can add additional steps if we wanted to. So here's a huge list of tasks that come out of the box that allow you to deploy all sorts of different assets and project types and languages using Team Foundation Server. And inside of Team Services, it's the exact same thing. The only difference between Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services is that VSTS, as we call it for short, is updated every 3 weeks, where Team Foundation Server is only updated every 3 months. So if you want to be on the latest and greatest, I encourage you to investigate Visual Studio Team Services. But for those of you who have to have their IP and have their development environment all on-prem, that's why we continue to produce and support Visual Studio Team Foundation Server. This is a way for you to have the same functionality that we have in Team Services online on-prem. But I want to be very clear, even if you were to move to Visual Studio Team Services, our SaaS cloud-based hosted solution, you can still deploy to on-prem resources with it. You don't have to stick to Team Foundation Server just to move to deploy on-prem. I always joke that Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services are like twins. Just one of them is 3 months younger than the other. Imagine that Visual Studio Team Services is everything that you know and love about Team Foundation Server with none of the maintenance. I mean, with Team Foundation Server, you have to back it up, you have to upgrade it, you have to migrate it and things like that. You never have to do that with Team Services. But as you can see here, there's a lot of functionality in Team Foundation Server that we're bringing to you every 3 months. The other thing that I wanted to show you was the release that was created for you. So if we go over to releases here, this was also generated for you by the Yeoman generator. And again, we keep extending that and adding new functionality to it. But here we have a release. And as you can see, it's successfully deployed to dev and to QA. And it's currently waiting on an approval to go into production. If I were to go and show you the edit experience here, let's go ahead and edit this. You'll be able to see that we've defined three different environments. The second environment, QA, and the third environment, production, both have approvers associated with them. We're also using a DevOps best practice called infrastructure as code. This very first task here is taking a definition called an ARM template and using that to stand up the environment upon which we are going to deploy our Node.js application. Before this release ran, there was nothing in Azure. There was no resource groups. There were no web apps. There was nothing. But by running this build, it was able to take the definition of the environment and then ask Azure to please go stand up a web application, application insights, and a service plan for us so that I could then deploy our application inside that environment. I can actually go into Azure right now, delete that resource group, run this release again, and it will stand it all back up for us again. That's one of the beautiful things about infrastructure as code. No longer is someone having to go into a portal and click around to stand up an environment or remember all of the different ways of configuring it. We actually codify that configuration, we store it in source control, and we add it as part of your DevOps pipeline so that whenever you need to stand up a new environment, you simply run your build and everything gets stood up for you. Once the environment is stood up, we then go ahead and deploy into that environment. We rinse and repeat that again inside of our QA environment, and then finally again inside of our production environment. In each environment, we're doing the exact same thing, but we're deploying to different resource groups. Those are controlled by variables that I have defined on each of my individual environments. So this one is called prod, I have another resource group called QA, and then one called dev. So if I were to take you very quickly inside of the Azure portal, what we should see here is everything that was created for us by Team Services as a result of everything that we did inside of PowerShell. So if I go over to my resource groups here, and I were to search for Node Demo, what we're going to see is that we have our Node Demo dev environment and our QA environment. At this point, there's no production environment because it's waiting for me to approve the production environment to be deployed. When I do, it will actually be created as well. And inside of it, you will see things just like this environment that we have for dev, which is a service plan, a application insights container, and then actually the application in which we wanted to deploy into. So if I browse into this particular application, what we should see is the sample project that was created for you by the Yeoman generator inside of PowerShell. So again, without ever leaving the command line, I was able to generate a project, generate the code, monitor the progress of my CI/CD pipeline, make an approval to my release pipeline, and deploy my code all the way into Azure. Visual Studio Team Services and Team Foundation Server are trying to enable you no matter where you want to begin. Go and find the videos where I did it entirely from Visual Studio. I've done it entirely from a command line, from the Azure portal. Wherever you want to get started, we're there to help you build a CI and CD pipeline. Thank you so much.